The phones are ringing. We'll get to as many calls as we can for the subject of prosecutorial abuse when it comes to border agents. What's going on here? Why are they coming after what seem like fairly minor, if there are any violations at all, fairly minor violations? And meanwhile, you know, we've got the case of Operation Fast and Furious, where they're essentially handing over guns to Mexican drug lords. We're talking with Andy Ramirez, the president of the Law Enforcement Officers Advocates Council, discussing the case about Jesus Enrique Diaz, who got 24 months, could have gotten 10 years for being prosecuted at the request of the Mexican consul for how he handled what was then an illegal alien, which is who's been associated with drug running, and how he, you know, supposedly handled him too hard when he had handcuffs on. It just doesn't seem like it rises to the level of these prosecutions. So what's going on? We'll get to that coming up, and your questions and comments too next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So let me get to a quick question before we start getting to all these calls for Andy Ramirez. We're talking about the case of Agent Diaz, who's looking at 24 months, which could have been worse, but for the accusations surrounding his treatment of a suspect. Let me just ask you, what do you think is behind all of this? I mean, I asked you about the quid pro quo with other governments, and are we doing something here? We're getting something on the other side. We don't seem to have any evidence of that. What do you think this is all about? Why are they doing this?
Well, I have been investigating this for a very long time, and I found a case called the House of Death. I don't think it's the traditional, you know, photos of live boy, dead girl, or anything like that. You know, that's always been a blackmail thing that's been done.
I don't have any idea what you were just talking about. You spoke like I'm supposed to know. What do you mean by that? I have no idea what you mean by that. What do you mean?
Well, when they're blackmailing a figure, generally there's pictures of somebody with a, you know, where they're in a scene with a live boy or a dead girl. In other words, a guy with a live boy or with a dead girl. That's a traditional kind of a blackmail thing. In this instance, it doesn't appear to be any of that. I have investigated and found...
Who would be blackmailing whom here? I don't understand. Who's blackmailing whom here?
High-ranking officials in the government, because here's the problem here, and this is something I've said in letters to members of Congress and to even Senator Grassley. How is it that in all of these cases, with the exception of the Rhodes case, and in Fast and Furious and border policies, you have the same characters? You have the Department of Homeland Security. You have the Justice Department. You have the State Department. All of them appearing to be working towards the same end. We hear, well, they're not rumors, they're fact. Border Patrol agents have reported, as have customs officers, that the Mexican government runs the Border Patrol stations. They have full carte blanche. Same thing with customs. They go in, they do as they please, and they do things with impunity. There's no questioning what the Mexicans do inside of CBP, inside of Homeland Security.
So again, you speak sometimes with the presumption that I share this knowledge, so I have to unpack that a little bit. You're saying the Mexican government controls our Homeland Security along the border.
That is correct, and that is what we hear from Border Patrol agents, customs officers, both active duty and retired, and these are people I trust.
Okay, I understand that. So that when something happens along our border, we abdicate our authority to our Homeland Security to the Mexican government, and you've heard that from our agents.
That is correct, and I'll take it a step further. As I've testified before the House Homeland Security Committee, what we do is the United States government basically takes our security, our national security, and we throw it out the window. And in instead, we place trade and commerce ahead of U.S. national security when it comes to Mexico.
Okay. Well, I've heard that.
Security is non-existent.
Why go – Senator Grassley's from Iowa. Why is he involved, and why aren't there Texas senators – and where is Governor Rick Perry on this? It's happening on their soil.
I am so glad you asked about Governor Perry. Mrs. Diaz, or Diana, She's a Border Patrol agent, a field operations supervisor. That's mid-management, a supervisorial agent.
And this is Agent Diaz's wife?
Yes. She received a response, not a written response through the mail, but a PDF through email when she put in a request for his assistance, for Governor Perry's assistance. And they declined any support for Agent Diaz, sloughing it off, saying, well, it's a federal thing, and we don't get involved in federal matters. We have no authority. He's running for president of the United States. Let me, for one, say that that Governor Perry has never issued a statement and has never been involved in any of these border prosecutions within the state of Texas by the U.S. attorney, whether it's the West or Southern districts of Texas. He has had zero involvement. He has had no interest whatsoever.
What about the senators? They're federal.
Cornyn showed interest in the Ramos and Compeán case, and he, along with Senator Feinstein, essentially co-chaired the Senate hearing on July 17, 2007. And that sole hearing has been the sole interest from any senators into any of these prosecutions. Senators like Jeff Sessions, who has been wonderful on the issue of border security, are probably the strongest senator on border security, has not shown any interest. Senator Kyle, Senator McCain, Senator Cornyn, Senator Feinstein, of course, we expect nothing from Barbara Boxer, Kay Bailey Hutchison, none of them have shown any interest on the southern border of any of these cases. Grassley has shown it, which is most curious, but that has, we think, more to do with the whistleblower. Senator Grassley has generally been very solid on whistleblower protection when it comes to border security.
Let's go Jeremy in Texas on a wild card line for Andy Ramirez, who's here about the Agent Diaz case. Jeremy?
Yes, it's good to be on. Thank you, Ian. I am a Border Patrol agent in Texas, and my question to Andy is, I don't understand, I guess, where you've come to find out that Mexico runs Homeland Security. I have not found that to be true. I've been working here for 4 years. It seems to be hit and miss.
Well, what do you mean hit or miss? I don't understand what you mean by that.
Your information seems to be hit or miss. I mean, don't get me wrong. I appreciate any spotlight that we can get on the matters in Homeland Security, because it seems to be lost in the shuffle with everything else. But it seems like all your information is misguided.
Hang on, Jeremy. Let Andy answer. Go ahead, Andy.
And that's something you can say, given 4 years in, believe me, I have the utmost respect, because I know what you had to go through at the academy, though the academy that you went through is different from the academy that either of the Diaz family went through. You know, the pre-DHS days, one of the things that we learn, I may be a civilian, but my mentors were the former chiefs of the academy and people like that. One of the things, you know, when I go to the old chiefs and I start asking the old, as they are known as the jefes, when I ask them information and I get this type of information, you're hearing it from the top. I get information from retired chiefs, deputy chiefs, assistant chiefs, you know, the guys who have full birds on their shoulders. I'm getting it from the brass. I'm not just, and I also get it from some rank and file, but those are people who have 10 years and 20 years. Some of my friends first EOD'd or entered on duty in the 1950s. So that should tell you where I'm getting some of my information. People who built the Border Patrol.
Sure, but on that information right there, you should know that people with much more time in the Border Patrol, it's time oriented. It's time oriented, not superiority, seniority. And you talked about the trainees earlier. Basically, if I can paraphrase, you basically said that the trainees conspired with each other to come up with a story against him. And you should know that the trainees, under his supervision, he would have been in a position of journeyman or whatever with them. And, of course, they're not going to outright say something against him. Whether or not, I'm not saying anything of whether guilt or not. And in my opinion, it's just my opinion. It's not the opinion of the Border Patrol. It's not the opinion of Homeland Security. But you should know that the trainees are not going to just open their mouths and speak out against their mentor.
Okay, but here's the question that I can throw back your way. Knowing that you have the 1 hour reporting on any incident with an alien, you know what happens, you got to report it, or you know you're going to have somebody from IA or otherwise crawling up your backside. So the question there is, why did they violate the one hour policy? Why did it take them 5 hours to go to Whataburger, get their story together, and then report it back to an off-duty supervisor?
Okay, go ahead, Jeremy.
You're talking about reporting a critical incident, which is basically, for all rights and purposes, other than this right here, is firing your weapon, using any less lethal means against somebody. You're talking about that kind of critical incident reporting. If this was an incident that at the time seemed normal to everybody else, it didn't seem like it was going to go reported, of course, no one's going to report it because it didn't seem a critical incident at the time, whether he was telling the truth about this or that or whatever. And whether they thought it was a critical incident. Now, later, once people started poking and prodding it, well, why am I getting a call from the Mexican consul saying, hey, this happened? Now they're calling people in. Hey, who was there? I need a statement from you, and you.
And they sent them all together when they did just that. They didn't separate them and interview them one by one. They let them sit and write their statements together.
I'm going to put that all on hold because I can't sort that out here. But let me ask you, Jeremy, as a Border Patrol agent, what are you hearing about the Agent Diaz case? What are other agents saying along the border about one of their own?
I'm going to have to generalize because, again, I don't represent the Border Patrol.
I understand.
I'm just an agent.
And I think you've handled this phone call excellently, by the way, and I think you've done it very fairly. But what are you hearing? What's the scuttlebutt?
Basically what's coming down the pipe is we're finding more and more out all the time. And I'm not going to specifically say that about this, but I can generalize by saying, especially in my sector, they tell you that, you know what, it doesn't matter what you do, how bad you mess up on duty, as long as you tell the truth about it. Do not stretch the truth. Do not lie about it. Do not put anything down on paper that is a stretch of the truth or a lie, because that ultimately is what gets you. And that's the absolute truth, and that's the gospel.
Let's leave that there because there's so many other callers that want to get through. James is in Kansas on a wild card line for Andy Ramirez. We're talking about the free Agent Diaz case, 24 months. He may not serve all of that, but it seems excessive. Andy, let's get to James. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I'm a federal police officer myself. My question, or more of a comment, is it seems to me like this administration, and this is just my personal take, seems like this administration is more concerned with hampering the agents and officers from doing their jobs rather than prosecuting the or dealing with the illegals and the bad folks that do bad things.
Well, let me ask you, Andy. So was it better under the Bush administration then? I mean, did these other prosecutions you were talking about, didn't most of those happen in the previous administration?
Well, they mostly happened under the Bush administration. You know, one of the things that I've seen on tape is the former chief of the Border Patrol, David Aguilar, who is still the CBP deputy commissioner, telling his troops at Border Patrol agent station musters, they're not immigration enforcement officers. They're not responsible for immigration enforcement. That's not their job. So that happened during the Bush administration. The things that we're hearing about today under the Obama administration from ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, it was already like that in the Border Patrol during Bush, and it took place just like that. This prosecution, we thought we were done with these types of prosecutions after the Senate hearing of Ramos and Compeon because there wasn't any. You know, there were good prosecutions because there were many cases I turned down, our organization turned down, that when we were called on, but this case hit the radar because there was so much, it seemed wrong to everybody who looked at the paperwork on it.
Well, so, let me ask you about then, other than this case with Agent Diaz, which again, on the surface about this just seems wrong to me, but other than that, are there any other prosecutions going forward right now under the Obama administration against Border Patrol agents or custom agents?
There have been, but they're more gray area. I would call them more gray area. This is this would be by far a more black and white.
Give me a gray area.
Just lifting handcuffs.
Give me a gray area.
Gray area. You have an agent who was accused of accepting a bribe or taking money, yet at the same point, he's saying that he was a whistleblower and that this was a setup, that he didn't do any such thing. He has only been placed on administrative leave. U.S. attorney has issued a statement claiming that they've indicted him for this, but nothing has happened yet. I have yet to see the rest of the paperwork, but from what I'm seeing, it's a gray area case that might not necessarily rise to our organization, you know, putting a defense for him, because it's just, it's questionable.
He could have done it. Okay. West of the Rockies, Jimmy is a truck driver in California on Coast to Coast, talking with Andy Ramirez. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
It just sounds to me, from what I've heard, that the five trainees should be released, because it sounds to me like they're on the take from somebody.
Could they have been on the take, Andy?
I've come to the conclusion that there were only two reasons for this. First and foremost, that, you know, they screwed up and they were out to get somebody, or B, somebody had their hand in the cookie jar. Those are the only two explanations that I can possibly find as to why this could have happened.
Not that they could be telling the truth.
Well, no, because you see, it's very clear in the transcripts that it was admitted as to perjury.
Well, you say that, but I didn't see the transcripts, and so I'm taking your word for it on that interpretation. What do you mean by it's very clear that they – did they say we lied?
Yes, it was admitted to – I can't remember the page off the top of my head, but I'll have it for you in the next segment.
Well, we don't have to get too specific, because I wouldn't be able to check it anyway, but it's fair enough. Let me get to let's go to – who'd be next? This would be Luke on a wild card line in Grand Junction, Colorado, on Coast to Coast for Andy Ramirez. We're talking about the prosecution of Border Patrol agent – Diaz. Go ahead, Luke.
Well, Andy, Ian, nice to talk to you guys. It's kind of crazy. I called in twice in a row this week. I just wanted to I'm just shocked that nobody's done anything about it.
Lots of people are trying to do something about it. So
now they are, but it just surprised me that instead of, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans fighting in between themselves, why don't they just stop fighting and start taking up our, you know, freedoms here in the United States, you know?
Okay. All right. Mark, let's go to Mark in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast. Mark?
Good morning, Mr. Punnett. Good morning, Mr. Ramirez.
Hi, good to meet you.
Basically, my take on this, being a former, being a veteran in the submarine service, working with members of the CIA and SEAL teams, and learning a lot through how things can be taken care of. And my point, basically, I guess I'm saying, is that it seems that this administration is basically more interested in cleaning up the perceived image to other countries and bowing to them at the sacrifice of those who are putting their lives on the line.
But that's a fair point, I guess, but how do you reconcile the fact that these prosecutions started under the Bush administration?
Actually,
there was more
than a Clinton.
Well, the first one did, but I'd say you said the bulk of the ones you were talking about were under President Bush. So how do we?
Johnny Sutton.
And so how do you square that up, Mark?
I guess in a way I would try to square it up that I misperceived what the point was, is that this was a current under this administration being the Diaz case.
Yeah, the Diaz case is. But I guess what we're saying is there's been so many other prosecutions of Border Patrol agents, and the only ones that are going forward right now are kind of gray area ones. So definitely the Diaz case looks weird, and I'm all for that. That's why you're here, because we're talking about it, because it really does seem like a malicious prosecution. It seems like an over-prosecution. But all that having been said... this has gone back over the last 15 years, right, Andy? I mean, this is not new.
No, it's not new. The first would have started Stephanie Moore. That was 1995, but she wasn't prosecuted until the end of the Clinton administration.
And then continued on through the Bush administration. All right, so we got time for more calls. We'll get to yours coming up. And I've got a question, an overall question about Border Patrol agents that I think only Andy Ramirez can answer coming up next. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. And then we get like another 25 minutes worth of your calls. We'll get everybody in order. Phones are locked up, but we'll try and find some space for you if you're trying to get through. Talking about this sort of, it seems like prosecutorial excess in the case of border agents. And it's hard to tell exactly why the Justice Department is coming down so hard on some of these cases. That's what we're talking about. What could really be at work here? And Andy Ramirez is the only one that can answer this question that has also come through from a couple of people on Twitter. By the way, I check Deacon Punnett, DeaconPunnett, Deacon Punnett. I'll check that during the show, and that's where I get this next question coming up on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So, Andy, I have to ask you, I mean, you're the one that knows this case of Agent Diaz better than anybody. Several people tweeted to me, could this be a case of him being a whistleblower on any of the other famous cases? Is he a victim because he knows too much? Is there something that he knew about the way things were being handled? You said it's common knowledge amongst Border Patrol agents, although it was disputed by another caller, but you said it was common knowledge that the agency is being run by Mexico. Could there be, is there something else, a subtext in this? Did he speak up somewhere? Did he put himself in the crosshairs of more powerful people, and he's being punished for that, not so much for what he did with this, you know, illegal alien that he was arresting?
Well, and that, have you been listening in on my calls, Ian? Because that's the exact question. I give two questions to agents and officers who call me. First one is there something you may have seen? Are you a whistleblower? Is there something you're aware of? Or who did you piss off? Excuse the language, but those are my direct two questions that I have to ask at the beginning of anything, any discussion, when they call me. Because those are the first two things I need to know. I need to rule out that this person is not a whistleblower, because I've dealt with whistleblower cases where a person was investigated and subsequently attempted to be terminated or prosecuted because of what they knew and what they saw.
So is Agent Diaz a whistleblower? So is he a whistleblower?
This does not appear to rise to a whistleblower.
Okay.
Now, his wife, in her case, with her knowledge of how this case was badly investigated and prosecuted, she is in that position. I hate to say that and disclose that publicly, but that is the position she is in, and some of the things that she's dealing with internally are due to that. But I can't disclose, you know, further due to privacy.
Okay. Dave is in Virginia, wildcard line on Coast to Coast for Andy Ramirez, representing Agent Diaz, looking at 24 months behind bars, maybe do a little bit better than that. Dave?
Hi, Andy. I spoke to you a while back. My name is actually, this is Dave Gibson. I'm a writer, and I've written extensively about this issue. One of the cases I wanted to bring up about, I haven't heard yet, is of Agent Noe Aleman. He was prosecuted under George Bush by Johnny Sutton's office, and probably nobody's heard of this case. Agent Aleman and his wife they were adopting his wife's three nieces from Mexico after their father died. They were living in an orphanage in Mexico. He brought them up here. He spent $40,000, he and his wife, in legal fees. His attorney screwed up some of the things on the adoption papers, the immigration papers, and Agent Aleman pointed these things out himself to
the CIS. To CIS, well, Citizenship and Immigration Service. He self-reported it.
Right. And so what is he – so they call him and tell, okay, well, that's fine. Come on down here and we'll get this straightened out. When he shows up at the office, he's taken into custody. He's arrested. He was prosecuted.
Immediately.
Right. He was prosecuted by Sutton, by his Mrs. Henchman. And this is how disgusting this got. This is under George Bush. In his trial – Sutton's attorneys call these girls, I'm quoting now, the oldest one is 15, 13, 12. They called them, quote, little whores, and they suggested that Aleman wanted to adopt them so that he could have sex with them, he could molest them. Agent Aleman spent 12 years at the Border Patrol. He was involved in a heck of a lot of very high-profile drug busts. He was very known for his aggressive pursuit of smugglers, and that's why the Mexican consulate got involved in this. They couldn't come up with one incident where they could suggest any impropriety. So they invented something, and they took him down. He spent a year in prison for what was basically a clerical error on his adoption papers that he pointed out himself. He spent a year in the same federal prison where Ramos and Compeon were held. Let me say one more thing.
Ian. Wait, hang on. Go ahead. Andy, I want to get Andy in here. He's our guest, but go ahead.
Everything is accurate except for the prison. He was at Gailton in South Dakota. Compeon was in Elkton in Ohio, in Lisbon, Ohio, and Ramos was in Yazoo City, Mississippi before completing his time for his commutation in Arizona. But everything else is spot on, and that is absolutely correct.
I got a lot of people trying to get through here, Dave.
If this government wanted to stop the drugs and human smuggling coming in here, this is Sunday morning. They could do it by Tuesday afternoon. So the logical conclusion is they don't want to stop it.
Okay. And that's absolutely correct. As a retired DEA special agent in charge told me, for years they were trying to get a fully staffed DEA office in El Paso, Texas, that was denied by the Clinton administration, denied by the Bush administration, and then when they moved the head of the office, this was a small office in El Paso, they bumped him up to SAC and moved him to Denver, and they brought in my friend from Miami, who was the ASAC there, assistant special agent in charge. They brought him and made him the SAC of El Paso. Then they did that, but they always kept the staffing down. There was any real effort on the part of the government to fix the drug war.
Right.
And it's all recognized.
Very confusing, too, on all of that. And I'm with you. It seems like it's a cacophonous message. But all right. So then Democrats and Republicans pretty consistent on this. That they either know nothing or do nothing across the board. Obviously there's a lot of money involved in it. If this is all about letting the drugs keep rolling through, and handing things over to the, if that's true, that the department is being run by the Mexican consulate. I have a question I'll save for the end, but I need to get a couple other people in before I get back to this question, but it begs one that I'll hold on to for the moment. Patty is in Denver, Colorado, on Coast to Coast for Andy Ramirez. Go ahead, Patty.
Yes, I remember it was during the Bush administration. I think it was the first Bush administration when they had a DEA plane that stopped in Colombia and it was carrying tons of cocaine, and they used the same excuse that they used for Fast and Furious, that we've got to spread it out so we can see where it goes.
And yeah, I kind of remember that too. I remember that too.
Yeah, I mean, and right there it told me all I needed to know. And they want to shut down the American grower dispensaries and open the borders wide open. Now the trucks can come in, and apparently they're sending a message to the border, don't stop them. There's a lot of money. One state made $100 million, which is a lot of money to the state
in hard times.
Marijuana, which, the Bible says all herbs bearing seed shall be meat for my people.
Well, so that's a whole other conversation on that. But your first point is very well taken. Tony is in Indiana, wildcard line. I'm trying to get everybody in before the top of the hour. Tony?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead,
gentlemen.
Hi, you're talking to Andy Ramirez. Go ahead.
Right. Everyone's right. It's Occam's razor. The most simplest explanation is probably the wants drugs to flow freely. They prosecute honest, good agents so that they can keep this criminal enterprise thriving. A long time ago, there was a dog handler on the border that his dog alerted on a tanker truck, and he went to his supervisor to get the thing searched. And they did everything they could to stop that truck from being searched. And finally, they ran out of excuses. They searched the truck. They found the stash. And next thing you know, they reassigned the dog handler to patrol the border. And when it happened, I assumed they were punishing that actual agent. But later on, I thought about it. And what they're doing is they want to stop the dog. That dog was too good.
Well, let me add to that, because what you're saying is true there. In El Paso, Texas, the customs head of customs until the end of 2007, and everybody needs to remember that the drug war in Juarez began shortly thereafter. You know, all the mass numbers of people that were dying in Juarez began in 2008. The customs U.S. Customs did not allow the canines on any of the El Paso bridges until after the head of customs left that office, was forced out due to some issues that were exposed, and Congress was able to get his tail replaced. So what he's saying is absolute true. This same individual also wouldn't have let customs officers wear an American flag on their lapels after 9/11, though he wore a Mexican flag. His name is Luis Garcia. That is a fact.
Okay. So then we get a couple other callers in here before the top of the hour, and I just will wrap things up with Andy Ramirez, but I'm going to hold on for those last 2 minutes for my question. So Dave in Texas, first time caller line for Andy Ramirez. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. I think you're just looking in the wrong direction. I'm just going to give you a little bit of history and you go from there. Seventh generation Texas. I'm 50 years old. I grew up raised in Texas. Some of my family settled. They were back when the militia were fighting the Mexicans. What it boils down to is it's a lot of old money and a lot of old agreements. Back when I was in high school and college, I could walk across the border with drugs in my hand. There was no border check. There was just no such thing. What's going on is there are certain people that are just untouchable, and there are lots and lots of old money involved in keeping this stuff coming across the border. Somebody's toes got stepped on and somebody's being made an example of. It goes way back. You'd be surprised. It's Texas back then was the same as Miami was back in the 80s. Things didn't get built if the drugs didn't come across. There's a lot of old money involved, and that's what it boils down to. Going to the Justice Department and chasing stuff down, they need to look a little deeper into what's going on into Texas and see who's funneling money to who.
All right, Andy, what do you think of that?
No dispute on that. There was a Texas sheriff, Rene Guerra from Starr County, who was arrested for dealing coke out of his own sheriff's office. It's true.
James is in Topeka, Kansas, on Coast to Coast for Andy Ramirez, defending Agent Diaz. James?
How's it going, Ian? I love your style. I love how you challenge people. It really advances our knowledge. I wanted to say, I think we need to decide first and foremost if we're going to enforce our laws, our immigration laws. And I wanted to ask the guest what he thought about how the current administration is preventing states from enacting their own laws, yet they aren't doing the job themselves. And I agree is that the blame falls on the Bush administration as well. Nobody's hands are clean in this.
Okay, so, Andy?
He's absolutely correct. Nobody's hands are clean. The Bush administration is basically, it was under DHS when certain people were promoted, David Aguilar being the primary within at least the Border Patrol, who then, as the old guard, basically people with experience at Customs and Border Protection were being purged out. They replaced them with sycophants, people who didn't have that extensive experience, people who were not concerned about enforcing the laws of the land, people who were more concerned about screwing up to move up, and that's how they got their promotions. They brown-nosed it to the top. Now they handle all the top positions at CBP. It's absolutely correct. I have no dispute with what the caller just said. Because that's what it's become.
Steve is in Cleveland, Ohio, on Coast to Coast for Andy Ramirez. Go ahead, Steve.
Good evening, gentlemen, or good morning. My question is, do you believe that this is something similar that happened during the Vietnam War where the the POWs were held as more or less like a pawn to in exchange for other items that the Vietnamese wanted done in their country before they released anybody?
Well, if we look at the drug war, I've been saying this for some time, and I'm glad you brought up Vietnam. If you look at the Golden Triangle, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, and all the dope that was being produced there, or look at Afghanistan, look at Panama, why we went into Panama was over dope. If we look at some of these areas and look at Mexico, you know, I think there are great parallels to that. I mean, the question here is, why was Johnny Sutton so interested in protecting drug smugglers, keeping drug smugglers out of courtrooms, cutting plea deals for the lesser charges than when he could have had them for much bigger charges, and putting Border Patrol agents? Well, it was very clear they wanted to send messages. And so we have this pattern in this history where dope seems to be what we're pushing. Our own government is allowing it historically. Like I said, go back to those time periods, those wars in those parts of the earth. And there's a strong correlation. You can say, well, maybe, no, there's far too much of this going on, and there is no interest in stopping this. But it comes back to what was said to me. How do you have a war on a substance, a war on drugs? You got to basically, you can burn it out, but you got to stop them from producing it. You got to stop them from trafficking in it. And of course, the sheriffs have told me there's no interest to prosecute bad guys, even embedded on our side. They protect them. They don't prosecute them.
Okay, but to follow that logic, honestly, leads me to then, if that's all true, then the number one thing they would do, if there's so much money in it, is legalize it. That there's so much money in it, and that's look how much money the government has made, for example, since, you know, the end of Prohibition. All of the tax money on all of the booze, all of the liquor, all of the licensing. I mean, it's just trillions of dollars that they've made off of that. If it were really just coming down to drugs, why wouldn't they legalize it? And then they just tax the snot out of it coming up out of Mexico and the distribution of it in the United States.
Because we got to look at it from black market has always made mass money. But if it's going to get legalized, then that has to go to the Congress, and they stand for election every 2 years. Senators can survive some things. Members of Congress can't. In this time and era, the left or the right, Democrats or Republicans would easily get thrown out on their ears.
Not according to the polls. So many Americans say legalize it. Majority of Americans say legalize it. And I mean, I'm just saying, if it's really coming down to this, they're going to make more money on legalizing it and taxing it on a federal level, takes all the other issues totally off the table. But I mean, if it's really about making money for the government as opposed to making money for individuals along the border.
Well, that's what happens when you have your hands in the cookie jar, but then you have the unintended consequences. If you got cocaine, if you got black tar heroin,
and every
other type of substance.
Fair enough. If we're talking pot, I would say it's legal. If we're talking heroin and cocaine, it just makes it all the more complicated. I hope you get a lot of hits on your website tonight for Free Agent Diaz. I'm glad we could help further the conversation one way or another. You're a great conversation partner, and you're very fair with all of the callers. So thank you for that, Andy Ramirez. And pass along our best wishes to Agent Diaz and to his wife, and tell him to keep fighting the good fight, and hopefully the truth will come out. And the truth will set him free, okay?
And thank you for having me on, and I will definitely pass that on, and perhaps in the future, Mr. Diaz, when he gets out himself, will be able to come on and
explain the whole thing. Good. Very good. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate that. And to everybody else, have a great week coming up ahead. I'll be talking to you on Twitter in between here and next Saturday. Deus Tiamat, and I do too.